We live in a culture, a Western culture, that encourages us to sort of hide out behind masks or fences, not reveal what Thomas Merton called true self. And that's always seemed nonsensical to me, since the true self is really the only gift we have to bring to the world, you know. It's a bundle of gifts and possibilities.
I'm Laura Locke, editor of Colby Times. I recently had the privilege and great pleasure to talk with Parker Palmer, Quaker elder, well-known author, educator, activist, and founder of the Center for Courage and Renewal. He is a voice of much-needed wisdom and compassion in our times. What follows are a few examples of the many insightful ideas and stories that he shared in our conversation. Our thanks also to Sergei Karamisinov for his beautiful music.
As an adult, I've made three deep dives into clinical depression of a pretty devastating sort. And anybody who's been there will know what I mean. It's the kind of depression where you have, for months, you have days every now and then when you wonder if life is really worth living, and you wonder it pretty seriously. So in the middle of one of those depressions, I came across this book that you mentioned by a Guatemalan poet named Julia Esquivel, and the title of the book just arrested me. The title was Threatened with Resurrection, or Threatened by Resurrection, and for me this was a notion, an idea that had never occurred to me, and the idea was that as a Christian I was taught from a very young age that death was the big threat, but resurrection was the big hope. And suddenly I realized that there can be circumstances in our lives when actually resurrection is the big threat and death is the hope. Because what we're dealing with seems so hard. Has really been helpful to me as I've gone along and said, now, Parker, at this moment when you're backing away from something that you have really felt called to do, are you threatened by resurrection again? Because if so, you need to choose life. Your fellow Canadian, the great Leonard Cohen, gave us these words which have become quite famous. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Right. And there are millions of people who love those words because they invite us to connect with each other in our brokenness, in the cracks in our lives, rather than this foolish business of bragging about how great we are and expecting anything like community to emerge from that. I can certainly say in my own case that just to be really obvious about it, that I connect a lot more profoundly with a lot more people when I talk about my depression, my journey with depression, because it's so endemic and it's so widespread. We really try to help people take that journey toward what I call living divided no more. Toward that journey toward the undivided life. I think where I've learned the most about divided no more is not from psychology or spirituality, but it's actually from the study of social movements. Because it turns out that many of the great social movements have been launched and sustained by people who who made that very fundamental decision to live divided no more, they came to a point in life where it was just too painful to continue to act on the outside, to act and speak on the outside of their lives in a way that contradicted some fundamental truths that they held about themselves on the inside of their lives. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the civil rights movement of the mid-20th century, and you have this great figure called Rosa Parks,
right.
who's emblematic of the sparking point of the civil rights movement, because one day on a bus in Birmingham, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama, she refused to give up her seat when a white man demanded his right to sit down. But for her, it was this moment in midlife when she, as she said, "I was tired, but it wasn't my feet that were tired, it was my soul that was tired of conspiring with the racist regulations and laws of the society in which I live." She made this fundamental decision to live divided no more. Let me take myself as an example. I'm the kind of person that this country was created for, in the sense of as a white, straight, middle or upper middle class male who's well educated. I just get all of these automatic perks from American culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sometimes goes by the name of white privilege and male privilege. And so, you know, if I am asleep at the switch, I think all is well. Mm-hmm. But if I wake up, I look around and I think all is not well. And what's happening violates some of my fundamental values about mm-hmm. how other people have an absolute, undeniable right to be treated as well as I'm treated. At age 78, I believe that on the day I draw my last breath, I'll be able to check out with a sense of satisfaction if I can say to myself, to the best of my ability, you know, cutting myself slack for my basic human frailties, mm-hmm. to the best of my ability, I was faithful to the gifts that I was given. I was faithful to the needs that I saw around me, and I was faithful to those opportunities I had to bring my gifts to those needs mm-hmm. in a way that helped someone somewhere somehow. I think if I can say yes to that, I think I'll have a sense mm-hmm. of satisfaction.